Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics. Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello. Hello, hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. It's that time again, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, when you're sitting here listening, you're listening to the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my two esteemed co-hosts, Mike Wright and Jeff the Joker, one from Jersey, the other one from the DMV area. We're always throwing it down on this time of night, on this day of week. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff, Mike, or me. Got a great show in store for you tonight. Going to be talking about a little bit of NBA, maybe even a lot about talking about a little bit of the draft. Going to be talking about some NFL news. Going to be talking about some baseball news. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm not talking about anything that's on the field, though. I'll tell you that right now. And also want to talk about one player who lost a boatload of money and says that's not going to sway him one way or the other for him to be playing. A Heisman Trophy winner who passes away. We're going to talk about that for a little bit, too. Anything else that may hit our little feeble minds tonight. But without further ado, like I always ramble on for whatever reason, it is what I do on a Thursday when we start this show. Let's bring in my two esteemed co-hosts, one from the DMV area, Mike Wright, and the other one from my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Black. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I like that. I like that attitude, Jeff. Let's do it. All right. We're going to start us on a sad note first. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but a Heisman Trophy winner has passed away. And he was a 1957 Heisman Trophy winner from Texas A&M. Ole Johnny Football's college, with a running back. He died at the age of 79. I'm going to tell you, this guy was a hell of a carrier in his day. Let me put it that way. The name of the guy, if you guys don't know, is John David Crow. Okay. He was the first Heisman winner for the Aggies, who were coached at that time by Paul Bear Bryant. And I don't know if you guys know this guy or not, or heard of him. I'm pretty sure you have, but I want to get your comments on John David Crow and his college career. And this is before Bear Bryant went to Alabama. He coached John David Crow. What's your thoughts on this? I'll go to Jeff first and then Mr. Wright.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't hear about it. I mean, Crow was, you know, his, you know, playing days were a little before my time, but, you know, he should have been a bigger name as a pro because he went to some Pro Bowls, but I think maybe because he played most of his career with the Chicago Cardinals, you know, that might have, you know, hurt his recognition as a pro. Because I've even heard people talk about Heisman winners who were disappointments as pros. I've heard the name Crow come up, and I don't think he was that big of a disappointment. And my thing is, with the whole topic of Heisman winners who don't do well in the NFL, it doesn't really bother me because the Heisman is for college excellence, not
right.
pro potential. So, I mean, there's usually some correlation, but that's not what the award is about. It's about how great a college athlete you are, and it's one of the greatest awards in all the sports. So, yeah, that's a shame about Crow. Yeah, definitely a historic college football player.
Mike, talk to me, man.
Man, I'm just sitting out here with my notebook. This is way before my time, so I'm just talking in my life.
I was 3 years old. I was 3 years old when he won the Heisman.
Man.
I was 3 years old when he won the Heisman. Yeah, he was before my, well, he was during my time because I was born at the time, so, and I was 3 years in when he won it, so. Yeah, and he was a pro ball player and a Hall of Fame player, so, and a Heisman winner, I should say. You hate to see when these guys pass away, because when they pass away, it's a passing of an era, their era, and you'll never be able to get that back. You only have the memories, and you don't have the person to put the memories to. Face to the memories, and you only remember that he won a Heisman. He played in the league of he was coached before Bear Bryant, and I gotta say that before Bear Bryant became Bear Bryant from Alabama, the coach of Alabama, he coached at Texas A&M, and he coached John David Crow. All right, let's stay in the NFL. And you know what? I want to go this route. I wasn't going to, but I got one of my favorite co-hosts on here. Not that the other one isn't my favorite, but I got one of my favorite co-hosts, and I got to keep asking him. It's not like I'm picking on him or anything, but I got to ask him.
There we go.
Your boy. Your boy, you know who I was talking about, Black Coach. Mike, you just jump right up there and put yourself out there. Made a surprise visit to the Cowboys. Now, days before that, he said that he did that is that it's not above it's not. A given that I'm going to be playing the first game of the season and or show up for training camp. Black, he shows up as a surprise visitor to the Cowboys practice facility today. Didn't put on any pads or anything. He was on the sidelines just tossing a ball around with some fellas. And I think he conversed with Jerry Jones quite nastily. I don't know if it was cordial or what the heck was going on there, but he seems like he's firmly entrenched that either you give me my money, I'm not signing my tender, give me my money, I did what you wanted me to do for the time I was supposed to do it, now it's time to get paid, and you guys are not stepping up to the plate. I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. That's how Dez Bryant, I'm talking for Dez Bryant here. Talk to me, Black. What the heck is going on, if you know or not, or if you have a good idea of what's going on with Dez, and why would you show up today and not participate, just stand on the sidelines and do nothing, really? Talk to me.
Hey, man, he's speaking up for what he believes in. I mean, you got guys that are paid way more than Dez Bryant into the league, who aren't more elite than Dez Bryant. So I understand his stance. When he first got drafted, you know, they sent the babysitters after him, nine guys watching him 24/7. He did all of these things with no complaints. I believe he was the best receiver there 2 years in a row in the NFL. It's time to get that money. The one-year tender is not going to do it.
Okay.
He needs a long-term deal. He's definitely put in the work. He's never complained a day that he's been here. He needs a long-term contract, and I'm back there for his facts. I back him 100%.
Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of people tend to portray football player in search of a contract as being, you know, greedy or ungrateful or whatever. But, you know, these careers are short, and I can't blame these guys. So they got to make the money while they can. But, you know, it's kind of a drag hearing about it. But, you know, it's part of football, unfortunately. It's the part you don't want to know about.
It seems like the Cowboys are intent on just giving him a franchise tag and just trying to delay the inevitable, or just trying to string him out, which I think, I mean, they have every right to do, because it was collectively bargained like that. But you take the chance of alienating one of the better players in the league, especially in the wide receiver position. And when time comes up that he possibly becomes a free agent, because you didn't actually sign a long-term deal with him, you just put a franchise tender, I mean, which is not bad, $13 million, give or take. But it's not long-term. It's only 1 year. So if he happens to get hurt next year, what happens? They're not going to sign him. They're going to cut him, just like any other player. They're going to cut him. So I don't blame him for taking a hard stance. And he did everything they told him they wanted him to do. Everything they wanted him to do, he did. He kept his mouth shut. He kept out of, basically, for the most part, kept out of trouble. And now it's time to get paid. And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about, Des. More like they have a loss of memory. And trying to fall back through the media saying that he's been having issues, and we're just trying to protect our investment, when the case is it really hasn't been that way. Anyway, I also wanted to talk about the money man. The money man. And I'm going back to Mike again with the money man. With the money sign, Johnny Football finally retiring his money sign, saying that he's moving on from that. He finally decided to wake up a little bit, I guess, and leave his college days behind him and realize this is a man's game, making a man-sized salary, that you got to man up, Manziel, and try to compete for a job and keep your job, whether it's a backup or whatever, in the NFL, to be an NFL quarterback. I'm going back to Mike again, because this is his boy. He was high on this guy when he first came into the league last year. Mike.
He's still my guy. Johnny, don't worry. When I go out and represent the FFT crew show, I'll bang the money sign for you, brother. Don't even worry about it. Just concentrate. You just got out of rehab. I need you to concentrate 100% on the playbook of football, and let's show all these haters and naysayers, especially one of my co-hosts on this show.
Oh, you know I can't. Football, man. I can't stand this guy, man. He is not an NFL player. I told you that from the beginning, and I haven't been disappointed yet.
I'm trying to kill my SEC guys, man. I got one guy down there with the Philadelphia, Tebow, back in the league, and Manziel's going to get it done, man.
He doesn't need
time to mature.
Wow. Okay. Well, Jeff, what's your thoughts? Johnny Football, he decided to retire his money sign.
You know what? Maybe it's something he should just do and not talk about, you know? And I think, and I hate these kind of conversations, but, you know, these young whippersnappers, they can't use the bathroom without telling the planet about it on social media. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you ever work with some of these people? It's like, oh, I just blew my nose. Let me text my mommy. Let me text my dad. These are adults, mind you. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you sound like an old fart when you say stuff like that, but, you know, sometimes it's relevant. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, not that long ago, but I just never had this burning desire to share everything I do with everyone. I don't get it. And this guy, I don't think Manziel gets it. But the important thing is I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. And you know what? The thing is, you know, he didn't play much last year. Believe me, that puts him in the category with the majority of rookie quarterbacks. But I think last year was a waste. He didn't even learn, because a lot of guys don't make a big jump from the first to second year. I mean, with him, I don't think he learned much last year, so it was a waste. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to waste your time on the sidelines or on the bench or whatever. He just got to just shut up and grow up and just try to prove himself.
Okay. Jeff, you're preaching to the choir here, because I firmly agree. We'll see. Wait and see. Let me put it this way. I will say, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, because I have a lot of doubt. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that we'll see what happens if he can step up to the plate this year. And because in my opinion, he really doesn't have anyone to beat out. In Josh McGowan, he's a seasoned veteran. I'm talking about Josh McGowan, but I've said it for the last 2 years, ever since he played for the Chicago Bears 2 seasons ago, and then went on to play for the for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I still say the same thing. He's a backup quarterback. He is not a starting quarterback, and it looks like, from what I understand, or from what I'm hearing, that He is the lead quarterback right now, and Johnny Football is the backup. All right. Now, I read an article here, and this is near and dear to my heart, because this team and players on this team are some of my favorite players and some of the players I've highly touted over the last 2 years, and they've shown out. In one of the best offenses, it's a top five offense in the NFL, and with a quarterback that is, for the last few years, has been highly underrated, finished fifth in total QBR, fourth in total QBR on passing plays, and second in total QBR during the second half or overtime. I'm talking about none other. Then the black and gold, the black and gold, black and gold from Pittsburgh, who from what I understand from an article I'm reading, should be one of the favorites to win the AFC, because of the fact is they have Ben Roethlisberger, who's a top flight quarterback, who's been very underrated, in my opinion, with arguably the best running back and the best wide receiver in the NFL, and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Fellas, they're going into this league. I mean, they're going into this season with those three players, even though Le'Veon Bell.
You're right on both accounts. We're going into the league. Jeff, I got your email. We're going into the league. Continue, Master. Continue.
They're going into the season with Le'Veon Bell not quite knowing if he's going to serve the suspension, full suspension, or a shortened amount of time of the suspension, because hasn't been a date set for his. So, but besides that, should the Pittsburgh Steelers be considered one of the elite teams in the AFC, seeing that there's more likely than not that Peyton Manning and that offense in Denver is going to be running the football more, and Peyton's going to be passing less, and that Tom Brady looks like he's not going to be starting the season as a starter. There's a possibility he won't be starting the season as a starter, and that could be a possibility of them losing games. And And that the Pittsburgh Steelers may step up and be the or should be one of the top five favorites to win the Super Bowl and represent the AFC coming out of that conference. What's your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers and their possibilities of going to the ship?
I love Le'Veon Bell. I love Le'Veon Bell. Let me reiterate. I love Le'Veon Bell.
Oh boy, man crush.
I don't see those guys winning the Super Bowl or getting to the Super Bowl. There's something about Pittsburgh that they're going to fall to in the playoffs. I don't know what it is, but they have a good chance of winning their division. But I wouldn't give them Super Bowl aspirations just quite yet.
All right, Jeff, what's your thoughts?
They got I'm not impressed with their defense. They seem they let everybody get old at the same time, and that's that's still about half the game is defense, give or take. So, for fantasy purposes, I do like that offense. I don't know about them as a real Super Bowl contender. That's hard to say. But, you know, the thing is, you don't got to go 14-2. I mean, you can go 10-6, get hot at the right time, and make a run, you know. So there's a lot of teams that have that potential, and Steelers are on that list.
All right. Well, I'm going to transition from the
What are your thoughts before you transition?
Okay, my thoughts are this. I think they're one of the top five teams, the top four teams in the AFC, and the other ones being the Broncos, the Patriots, quite naturally, and the Indianapolis Colts. And I think a lot of people are thinking the Indianapolis Colts because of the quarterback and the weapons he has, including the ground game. I'm not too high on their defense in Indianapolis, but there's another team that. Maybe a sleeper too in the Chargers, but that's a very outside chance. I think they got a good shot. I think that their defense is gotten they've gotten rid of some older players. That means they're going to bring in some fresh young blood. And usually when it's fresh young blood, they're quicker. They have more speed on the defense. I think a lot of teams are going to be playing from behind because of the high-powered offense that they have and the amount of points they can put up either through the passing game or the running game. So I like the Steelers a lot. If you look at them from year in 2013 and then 2014, each one of those years that their offense has progressed, they were lights out last year. They were one of the top, like I said, one of the top offenses, high powered offense, could put up points quickly with, the aforementioned guys I named Roethlisberger, Brown, either Le'Veon or Antonio, and also, Martavis Bryant and company. So they got a good shot. I think they should be one of the favorites to win it. To at least have a real good shot to go in the Super Bowl. But it has to be played out. Injuries can play a factor in that. So hopefully, everyone stays healthy. I don't like to wish injury on anybody. So hopefully you can stay healthy and you can see the full potential of the team. With all their healthy players. All right, let's transition over to basketball. And there's a couple things I want to, I got a caller here that's been sitting here for a while. Let me bring this caller in and see what he's got to say. He's from the 404. That seems like that's from the
ATL, I think.
ATL, yeah, that is from the ATL. All right, we got a caller from the ATL. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and let us know what you have to say.
Well, this is Naj. I'm in Atlanta, guys figured out there.
Yes.
Not much going on, man, but you guys are getting into NBA talk, so I wanted to join in on that.
Okay.
The most interesting thing coming out, I guess, is that Mark Stein story So you see, David Black clearly did not have LeBron James's respect.
Right.
It's some of the funniest stuff I ever seen on a team. But, I mean, this is kind of what happens when you hire a coach and out of the blue, a franchise player decides to come back. So now they're kind of caught up in a bad situation. So I'm sure we're going to get Blatt up out of there and somebody else will be coaching that team next year.
Yeah, you know, I saw this article and I couldn't believe some of the things that they were saying that LeBron was pretty much coaching the team and pretty much anything that the coach had to say. And this guy, from what I understand, was behind the bench. So it wasn't like this was hearsay. He was witnessing this. More or less.
Mark Stein has a reputation. He's not going to put his rep on the line with a story just
right.
of nonsense. So, yeah.
He pretty much made the coach non-relevant. Anytime the coach decided to make a play up, LeBron, from what I understand, one incident, he kind of like say, either, you know, we're not doing that. And the coach actually wiped off the play that he had and started from scratch. So, it was like,
he's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player, but he's so disrespectful. But here's a nugget for you.
Yeah, this is the thing, man. You can take this to any job you go to, man. If there's somebody there who people feel is incompetent, but they're confident in their incompetence, it immediately leads to a lot of tension and people not only not liking them but not respecting them. So David Blatt lost that team early on, and hell, it's too good of a gig to just walk away from. So he kind of just had to kind of try to show and prove and try to earn their respect, but. I just don't think he was capable, man. When you come into the NBA and you have a reputation from another league, that's already a bad mark against you. So it was rough sledding for him, man. He thought he was coming into a rebuilding project, and he ended up having to jump on the highway, you know, going 100 miles an hour right off from the beginning. And it just seemed to be too much for the man, as you saw how contentious some of his pressers were at the end of the season.
Right,
like he was getting into it with reporters. You know, the insecurity was just leaking out of him, man. It was rough.
I think Black knew what I know, and I don't know if any of you guys know, but LeBron's agency group, Mark Jackson assigned to his agency group, his sports agency group. So don't be surprised if there's a move made in the offseason.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Black is one and done. I really believe that. And they're probably go to quite naturally. A lot of times, it's behind closed doors. They go to the superstar and said, "Who would you want to coach this?" Now, you saw it in the. I think it was in the last game at halftime when Blatt was talking to the players, and they had the camera on Blatt, but in the background was J.R. Smith, like he was very disinterested and wasn't really into whatever Blatt was saying, and that he had tuned them out. So my man Nas, what he was saying, I think he was spot on, and I think David Blatt is in a he was put between a rock and a hard place from the beginning when they got LeBron, and it never got any better up until the last game when they lost. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and dude, not to mention, David Blatt has an ego, too. He's a grown man, so I know he's
right,
looking at it like, look, I can go back to Europe and be the guy. Like, I'm the most wanted coach over there. Why am I going to stay over here and get disrespected? Because this story is out there. If he goes into another locker room, everybody will be waiting on him to do something that shows he's not fit to coach, and then it'll be the same cycle all over again.
Right.
So I'd go back if I was him.
I hear you.
This is why players shouldn't have this much power. This is exactly why players.
Oh, I disagree. I said they don't have enough. I disagree. I said they don't
have enough. You said they don't have enough? Well, how about this? How about in the beginning of the season? I don't know if you know the specifics behind the Wiggins move, but because Wiggins didn't sign with LeBron's agency, he was moved.
Yeah, man. That was a shady move there. I always thought the trade was a bad trade because you don't trade a number one pick before you see what you have. So I thought that was a horrible move. And if LeBron influenced that, yeah, he's going to have to live with it. So if he never gets a chip on his last trip in Cleveland, he's going to have to own up and say, man, I passed on a number one pick. So, yeah, that's true, too. But as far as players having power, I just believe the talent or whoever puts butts in the seats or eyes on the television should have a say in how things go. So, yeah, I do think a player of LeBron's stature should have some say.
But really?
He can run over a coach with juice. He ain't gonna run over a coach with juice like that. As Bomani Jones tweeted out earlier, I guarantee you he never yelled at Paul Silas.
Well, that's true. Well, let me ask you something. Okay. There's some coaches probably out there, and I can't right off the top of my head think of one, but what coach that would be able, one that will want to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers and coach that team, knowing, because coaches talk and rumors and things get around the league about certain players and certain situations that took place, that would want to go to Cleveland and coach LeBron and company. I'm going to go to Nas, and then we go around the horn and give me an answer. Go ahead, Nas.
Yeah, I think any respected coach out there is still in play. I don't think this is an issue of LeBron's a coach killer. It's an issue of David Blatt just not a respected guy. So I would say go get the great Larry Brown. Get him to come out of SMU and come back to the NBA ranks, man. He'd get the respect he deserves in the locker room, and he'd actually have the acumen to draw up a winning strategy, which is what they need. So I go with the great Larry Brown.
Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, I think there's a lot of current NBA assistants who could become head coach of the Cavs, because I don't think they want to bring in a big name, a big ego guy like a Larry Brown. There's a lot of assistants they could bring in. The Cleveland situation was very unique because, I remember when they first hired Blatt, it goes to show you how far European pro basketball has come, because I was thinking to myself, when's the last time an NBA head coach got hired who had no NBA playing or coaching experience? It might have been a big-time college coach who got an NBA gig. There probably is a few of those, but when they hired Blatt, they were hiring him for a rebuilding project, and it turned out to be a lot more. And this thing with stars getting coaches fired has been going on for a long time. I mean, in the early 80s, Magic Johnson got Westhead fired. I mean, it's been going on a while, and in the NBA, the head coach isn't the boss. He's more like the babysitter. I mean, he's in charge, but he's not really in charge. And in most jobs, the boss makes the most. And I don't think there's any team where the coach makes more than the star player. So they're babysitters, basically.
All right. Black, got anything?
Being a Georgetown guy myself, I wouldn't mind seeing my man Patrick Ewing telling LeBron to sit his butt down and stop yelling. I'd love to see Pat take over for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Really? Really, huh? Okay. Well,
that's a rough first job. But I just want to add real quick. We got to be careful when we start talking about it's the player's fault, it's the player's fault, because if things don't go well, the players are going to get the blame, not the coaches. So if you're a guy out here and you just don't show that you're just a strategic genius as a coach, why should people respect you? I want a reason. Like, if you're the coach and you're that guy and you don't command respect when you step in a room, why should they respect you? And then there's the case of, do you have an 82-game personality? Because if you don't have the personality for this day in, day out, shoot around, practice the game, it's just not going to work, man. You got to have a certain personality and confidence in yourself. We all thought Eric Spoelstra was going to fail, and look at him now. You know what I mean? He's a respected, good young head coach down there in Miami.
Okay. Well, I want to go to another player that got some issues. He's got some serious issues. How about $20 million worth of issues? Allegedly, Tim Duncan, big name, Hall of Fame type of name, lost more than $20 million in a former financial from a former financial advisor. He's saying that won't influence him on whether or not he returns next season to the NBA. He's a quote saying, "Luckily, I had a long career and made good money. This is a big chunk, but it's not going to change my life in any way. I know if $20 million it would change my life, it's not going to make any decisions for me. The losses amounts to more than 15% of his after-tax career earnings. And his contract expires when the free agency period begins July 1st. So he turned 39 in April and has yet to announce if he'll return for his 19th season in the NBA. He lost $20 million from a financial advisor that I guess wasn't too much of a financial advisor. You guys, I'll go to Jeff, then Nas, and then Black. Tim Duncan, $20 million he lost, says it's not going to change his life. It's all good for him. Make his mind up whether he plays his 19th season or not. Talk to me.
I'll tell you, I wish I had the disposition of Tim Duncan. And I've been saying for a while. But let me tell you, even if I had $100 million, if I lost $20 million, I'd be screaming bloody murder because right. It's still money, you know? And it's not because I'm Jewish either, okay? But, I mean, that's just human nature, you know? I'll tell you, the NBA should have an award for gentlemanly play and call it the Duncan Award when he retires. Now, I remember a long time ago, I saw something on Duncan, and he had a close friend of his from college, one of his teammates at Wake Forest, who was managing his money. Now, I hope it wasn't that guy, because that would be very hurtful. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If it was a new guy, it wouldn't hurt as much. Now, also, he got divorced, I think, maybe a year or two ago. That takes a chunk out, too. And, you know, I remember the end of Kareem's career, everybody was going on and on about how long he played and how much he loved the game and whatever. But one of the reasons he stuck around was because he got ripped off by his financial advisor. So, you know, hey, they were still willing to pay him to play. So he played a very long time, you know, and, you know, it's not up to me to decide when a guy should retire. It's up to, does anybody want to hire him? But, yeah, and I just saw something you hate seeing these stories. Clinton Portis is having some financial difficulties. It's very common, unfortunately. Very common. Too common.
All right, now talk to me. Tim Duncan, $20 million. Yeah. He says he's all good.
Yeah, this is all too common to be accidental. I'll just say that. This is a systemic problem. We've had all kinds of vultures preying on players for years. This has always gone on. But as far as Tim Duncan, I could see him finding out that he lost $20 million and making the same face that he makes when he wins the NBA championship. Like, we got surprised. You know, it's just something that happened. And if anybody can deal with a hit like that and still continue their lifestyle, it's Tim Duncan. Think about Tim Duncan. What do you think Tim Duncan's big purchases are? Like, do you really think he spends a lot of money? Like, I consider him buying flip-flops, maybe takeout food, and, you know, driving a Nissan Elantra or some shit. Like, I don't see Tim Duncan spending a lot of money, so he'd probably be all right, man. But, yeah, that's a sad, sad story, man.
Black.
He's a better man than that, man. So that financial advisor will be sleeping with the fishes this morning.
I hear you. All right, we're going to take a little short break here. Little pause for the cause, and then come back and talk a little about the we're still gonna be talking about the NBA. I think we're talking about the closeout, talking about the Warriors and the Cavs, the series and whatever. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Victor Gardner began the fantasy sports and politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FST himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right, we are back. And go on to spotonradio.webs.com and click on the link to DraftKings. We are affiliated with DraftKings, and sign up for there. And you know, you've heard the slogan of DraftKings. You can win a ship load of money at DraftKings. So go to spotonradio.webs.com. Listen to the archives of many shows that we have, The Master Plan, FSP Crew, or the FSP show. And just like I said, jump on to DraftKings. Anyway, let's get back to the NBA. And let's talk about the championship. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I am, because I had picked, and I was still confident when the Cavaliers went up 2-1, and it was quite obvious that the lack of talent, they didn't lack heart, but they lacked talent. I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're just definitely outmanned and outgunned with the young Lions in the Golden State Warriors, who eventually wore them down, and literally wore them down, and won in Cleveland 4-2 and closed it out quite nicely, like I said, in Cleveland. I'm going to go to Jeff first, then Black, and then Nas, to get your thoughts, wrap it up, or whatever you want to say. I'll give you the time. What you want to say about the series, the 6-game series between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and quite naturally, the Warriors coming out the eventual champions, and Andre Iguodala, who didn't start one game in the regular season, and when they finally decided to start him, turned the tide in the series, and he won the MVP. So talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I thought it was an entertaining series. Cleveland had a lot to overcome regarding two big-time players injured and not having much depth behind them. But, hey, that's part of the game, you know. Depth isn't always important in the NBA, but sometimes it is. And it's if you have – you know, good guys at the end of your bench, they come in handy sometimes, and they didn't have anybody like that. And as great as LeBron is, he couldn't do it by himself. And, a good team can't always be the star player, but a great team can be the great player. And Golden State, they were healthy this year. That's huge. They're a relatively young team. But it's important to win when you get those big opportunities, because you don't know what's going to be in the future as far as health goes and contracts and whatever.
There's no guarantees. And I'm just glad the refs called the game straight on game six, because that's the kind of situation in the past where they might have tried to force a game seven, but they called it straight, so there was no nonsense. So NBA got good ratings, and I think it was, I don't know, it was a very good series.
Youngest team to win.
Oh, there was some nonsense. The nonsense was J.R. Smith. I don't know what the hell he was doing in the series, but he should be ashamed of himself. My goodness. Come on, man. It's the finals. You got to show up for the finals. You're sitting there and you get your little $400 hovercraft. You glide on into the stadium, and then you put up stupid stats. I just couldn't believe that. But I'm very, very happy that my man, Sean Livingston, who overcame a treacherous injury when he first came in the league. I'm glad that he got a ring, and I'm also happy for David Lee. Couldn't have the two better guys.
Nas.
Yeah, man. I guess that statement, ball is life, it's a true statement, because life ain't fair, and neither is basketball. So just because you're gritty, hungry, playing hard and all that stuff, talent wins out, man. This ain't the NCAA tournament. It's not a one-and-done situation. The seven-game series, the better team is going to win. Golden State was the better team. MVP Andre Iguodala, he was going to be the MVP or the GOAT because they were leaving him open and giving him that three. He hit enough of them to make them respect him. Much respect to him for coming back as a former All-Star to be humble enough to come off the bench. But, yeah, great series by Golden State. And for as far as Cleveland, they had no business being there. The only reason they were there is because the East is still down. I guess down is a relative term. We're talking about probably 10 years of the East being down. But that Cleveland team, that wasn't a finals team. So shout out to LeBron for making it interesting, but they had no chance.
Well, it seems like Vegas thinks they have a chance next year because they made them the favorites, 9-4 favorites. And the Warriors and the, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are 5-1 second choices. Just quickly, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Where are my Wizards in that? No mention of my Wizards.
I didn't look past three. I saw that I'm not trying to disparage any other team. I just didn't look past three. I mean, nine to four.
When KD arrived in 2016, they will see some eyes go up, man.
Let me ask you this now. You think that Kevin Durant is not that far? Well, I should say this. You think Kevin Durant is going to be coming to his hometown when his time is up in Oklahoma City? Is that what you're telling me, Black?
Once Billy Donovan screws that job up, KD will come home to D.C., and I believe Westbrook will head to L.A.
Oh, why would Westbrook go to L.A.?
It's hometown.
Excuse me?
It's hometown. That's where it's from.
Okay. You know what? He doesn't surprise me. The kind of, and I hate to say it like this, the kind of personality he is, I didn't realize he was from California, but the kind of personality he is, he seems like that's the type of guy that's the part of the country he's from. So it is what it is. What's your guys' thoughts? 9-4, 5-1, 5-1. In that order, Cleveland, Golden State, and I think it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, if I'm not mistaken. Any thoughts before we move on?
If everybody's healthy for Cleveland, they have a shot. If Kyrie is 100%, if Kevin Love is 100%, they'll have a shot.
I mean,
but they have to get rid of Shumpert, and they have to get rid of J.R. Smith. They got to bring in two other guys. That bench is too old. Mike Miller, the Matrix. Come on, man, these guys should be collecting pensions right now.
Yes, talk
sir.
To me now.
Yes, sir. I'm really curious. How can they put these odds out? Because LeBron has an opt out, and Kevin Love. He's at the end of his contract. He might not resign. So I don't think LeBron's going to opt out, but it could happen. And I don't
I think Cleveland could probably offer Love more than other teams can, but I think Love would rather go back to some lousy team like Minnesota where he could touch the ball as often as he wants and put up big numbers and get paid well and not win, and he'll be happy, you know? I think he's one of those kind of players. It just seems a little early to be posting the odds.
Oh man, both of those sound like good money to me. Cleveland and Oklahoma City. I wouldn't touch that Golden State one, but Cleveland and Oklahoma City, those sound like they could pay off. Cleveland's going to tweak that roster. They'll get a lot of the old out of that locker room. And Oklahoma City, if you got a healthy Westbrook and Durant, I mean, you're in the mix every year, so it is what it is. So, yeah, I take both of those, but I'm not touching the other.
And for your edification, Black, Mike, the odds for the Washington Wizards, 30-1. 30-1.
I'm gonna lay my dollar there.
30-1. So I think they're about 10th on the list, if I'm not mistaken, from what I'm looking here. So, and this is his order: Cavaliers 9-4, Warriors 5-1, Thunder 5-1, Clippers 10-1, Spurs 12-1, Bulls 12-1. Hawks 20-1, Pelicans 20-1, Rockets 20-1, and the Wizards 21, and the Pacers 30-1, and the Grizzlies 30-1. I'm not going any further than that, but
no disrespect.
Spurs 12-1. That Spurs 12-1 sounds like a value bet right there, though.
Yeah, that
sounds pretty good. Nah, tell me you're not an Atlanta Hawks fan.
Well, I'm a transplant to Atlanta, so I'm a fan somewhat, but I'm still more of a Bulls fan than I am a Hawks fan. And yes, okay. If John Wall didn't get hurt, the Wizards would have beaten the Hawks. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on from there to what I want to – I want to talk about surely about the NBA draft. Okay, which is going to take place in what, about 8 days, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. The Minnesota Timberwolves has the first pick. The Lakers have the second. The Sixers have the third. Knicks have the fourth. Atlanta Magic have the five. Quite naturally, you got the guy from Duke, which is Okafor. You got Karl Anthony Towns that are supposed to be going one and two. Supposedly, Karl Anthony it projected to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He had the kid out of Kentucky, who's a 6'11 center. And Jahlil Okafor, who's out of Duke, also 6'11 and a center, is going to the Lakers. I don't know too much about this guy from Latavia, who's supposed to be jumping up the draft board. 6'11, like a Dirk Nowitzki type of guy that does most of his damage on the outside. Maybe some one of
he
you
plays,
guys know. No.
He plays zero defense. Zero.
Okay. Well, one of you guys who knows about this kid, Kristaps Porzingis, can enlighten me before we move to the last two of the top five picks. Talk to me, Black, and anyone else that can jump in after Black about Kristaps Porzingis, because I don't know too much about this kid. I know about the first two.
A minor thing. He's from Latvia.
Yes.
That's right next to the country where my dad's people are from, Lithuania. That's one of the Baltic states. Latvia, that's on the Baltic Sea. I don't know much about him, but it looks like the top four, Towns, Okafor, D'Angelo Russell, and Porzingis. I think four is the big number I'm hearing because the Knicks pick four, so everybody in the New York area is curious how they're going to find a way to botch that pick.
All right, Mike, and then Nas, tell me about this kid, Kristaps Porzingis, if either one of you know. Sounds like Black knows. Talk to me.
He's a long guy with range, but his defense is shaky. I wouldn't touch him. We had a guy like that with the Wizards, that Ernie Grafford. I don't know why he wasted the pick on him, but he did. I wouldn't touch that guy. If I'm the person with the number one pick in the draft, call Anthony Towns. He will be my guy. He can stretch out to 15, 20 feet and knock that jumper down. Okafor is more of a power player, but the league is not moving in that direction. If I'm the Lakers, I might look at D'Angelo Russell at that spot. If I'm Nick, I might look at D'Angelo Russell at that spot. What you got now?
Yeah, I don't have anything on the foreign kid. I haven't watched much of him. And I think watching YouTube tape with somebody, like, I don't know how much that tells you, so I can't give you nothing on him. The interesting thing I heard this past month was Rick Fox talking about the Lakers. Traditionally, they like to get their bigs in free agency, and they like to draft their guards, just because you never know how healthy a big can be as far as the rigors of the NBA season. So I'm picking the Lakers to do the surprise and take Moutier or the kid from Ohio State, Russell, and kind of shake things up at the top by not taking Okafor after Towns comes off the board at one. So that's where I think things are going to get interesting. The Knicks, yeah, there's no way they can mess this up, though, man. There's no way they can mess
this up. Oh, yes, they can.
This draft is at least 15 deep. There's no way they mess this up, man. I got full faith in the Knicks this year.
I don't have – I'm a Knicks fan, and I have no faith in the Knicks. I've been a long-time Knicks fan, and if regardless they got Phil Jackson there or not, they will find a way. The legacy precedes them that they will find a way to screw this up. D'Angelo Russell supposedly is maybe their pick, but it could be a possibility that the Knicks trade down and move down in the draft if whoever's not at four that they want. Talk to me. Who is this Mario Hezonja from Croatia? Now, that seems like another offensive guy that doesn't play defense. And I hate to say it about these European or foreign players, but what I found that a lot of these guys are all offense and play very little defense. Mike, you know anything about this guy from Croatia that may go to the land of Magic with the fifth pick?
All I know is he has a fancy sounding name. That's it.
Okay.
Same here.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I got one other thing I want to talk about, and it involves the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Talking about, and you know, in this day and age, especially with the thing that China did in hacking the personnel files of the U.S. government, and Russia and China doing a lot of things in cyber space and hacking files and computer systems or whatever in the U.S. government. Now we get down to a baseball team, supposedly, and this is what the FBI is investigating, that the St. Louis Cardinals, a storied franchise that's got multiple world championships, got the best record in baseball right now, is accused of hacking the files of in the Major League Baseball in the Houston Astros. Now, I've never heard of this in baseball, but what else is new? I mean, everybody else is hacking everybody else in different countries. I guess it can happen within a professional professional team to a professional team. Go to Jeff first, and then Nas, and then Black. What's your thoughts? Hacking an MLB team to get valuable personnel information.
I'm not surprised. There's a lot of sleazy things that go on in the workplace, and it's easy to assume that includes Major League Baseball teams. And I'm just curious how this plays out, because it's all about the details.
And it's kind of unfortunate for baseball because, you know, this is a very highly regarded and successful franchise. I really, really want to hear the details, the truth, what really happened.
Yeah, Mike. Indeed. Go ahead, Nath.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a very difficult situation. It's also a very serious situation. So it's proven, if it's proven to be true, everybody who was involved in it has to go. And I'm not talking about a suspension. I mean a lifetime ban. This is equivalent to betting on baseball with Pete Rose or throwing a game or something like that. You're talking about the integrity of the game, and this is even beyond steroids. You're talking about getting people's records or any personal information that could be out there or personal information within a franchise. Like,
right.
Man, if you're a bank teller and you decide to steal $100, okay, but you'll never be a bank teller again. You can't be trusted with the church's money. So, yeah, those guys got to go if this is true.
Talk to me, Mike.
I was very surprised to find out St. Louis had Tim Donaghy on speed dial.
You're in rare form tonight, my man. I tell you that. You're in rare form tonight. Okay. With that being said, we are at the end of the show. It's been fast and hard, and I want to thank Nas for joining us. Long time not spoken to, but always a pleasure when he does show up and brings his conversation. And don't be a stranger. My two esteemed co-hosts, I want to thank you for joining me again tonight. And I want to tell you, all you listeners out there, tune in next week. We'll be talking about some news and notes on whatever is going on up into the week of sports. And enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend. Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers, which I think Nas is probably one. I know Black is definitely one.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
And Jeff, I don't know if you are or you may not know you are, but...
there's no kids that I know of. You beat me to it.
but I want to thank all you guys who are fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. And we'll be catching you on Saturday, which Vic and I will be showing up there at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the FSP show. And also I'll be jumping on Sunday on Father's Day, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to talk about being a father for one and talking about some more sports. And with that being said, we are out of here. I'm dropping the mic and getting out of here.
Yeah. Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, like